Thank you, Katya. Thank you to everybody involved with the series and the library. I'm really happy to be here. I'm going to begin by reading a poem that I felt kind of sheepish about when I wrote because it was such fun. I think I saw the source for it in a Victoria magazine years ago. It was images of Georges Sand's house at Noant, where she lived and had her boudoir and all of that. And I ate the images up. And I really like Georges Sand as well for her chutzpah. So this is Georges Sand's wardrobe. A cupboard in the wall of my boudoir begins a new life when fitted with shelves, one of them deeper, hinged. Voila the secretary where Georges Sand will write her first books. Inclining forward, sitting on my left foot on one of the Louis XV chairs, that naughty Aurore dragged across the herringboned floor, leaving my first literary scratches, I like to think. Grandmother Dupin wouldn't be pleased. Aurore, to console me, you must be properly brought up. Her first words to me, barely four and puny. She lifted me out of the carriage, and I was brought into the manor at Noël, protected, removed from the pleuritic rooms and the shadow of improbity after my father died and my mother, well, continued. This was grandmother's boudoir before it was mine. Her adjoining bedroom, with its lit à la polonaise, is too cold, correct. I'll spend my nights here, bent over the shelf of my hideaway secretary, with tobacco and without the baron. I will sit, dipping my pen, learning how to begin from these hands, this skin, these forward shoulders, this storming head of uncoiled hair, my body at work, happy travesty of grandmother's harp, still in the corner behind me, a proper lady. It pleases me to sleep in the hammock I've hung where the velvet divan used to be. When I die, I do not think they will say, Georges Sand was a great man. Follow my coffin solemnly in the mist of dear Frederick's Marche Funèbre. Nor will they bury me in the Pantheon, that edifice consecrated by Napoleon, two great men from a grateful fatherland. Make no mistake, she loved and was loved, left greenness, walnuts blooming in the boiserie, and roses below the windows. You see, I made this, wardrobe secretary, and from this spring, 100 books, 40,000 letters, the embraces of lovers. My profession? To be free. So I made as well the trousers and waistcoat, fine all-wool worsted, fully lined, which work which tailleur riche et fils respectfully declined. Convalescent. I think if I am dying, then I will want to go to the beach. Someone will prop me up on a chaise longue. I even like hearing the words chaise longue. Under a canvas umbrella, snapping like rigging in the wind. Facing the ocean, of course. I'll drink Evian, liquid yoga, my friend calls it, from a glass with a bendy straw. I see a hand, not my own, supporting that glass and another adjusting the pillow behind my head. Then my friend begins to slice me an Alabama peach. What does this mean? I worry. I'm sure it's neurotic to devour convalescence as a genre. It's not so bad, my friend says to me. It means you are always getting better. It means you are already past the worst. This poem is called Box. It's the one that was selected for the Poem of the Year a few years ago. And for me, it really is kind of an ars poetica, or the equivalent of what a Künstlerroman is for a poet, you know, the making of an artist. It took me a long time. Box. big enough for me to crawl into. It might have held a fake Christmas tree, neighbor's TV, or holiday imperishables from the Sally Ann. I was 10, making a house in the living room. Cut out a window, opened a door. "Look at my box," I called to my mother, and her friend put down his drink, chided, half slurred, "Don't say that," in a tone that begged me to ask why. "Don't say that," he said again. And in the pause, while he raised his glass in slow-mo and drank, eyeing me, I sat back on my heels and glimpsed the fourth wall, a spare self watching a trashy play. "Cut it out," my mother said. "She's just a kid, swatting the wasp after the sting." "I'm just a fucking drunk," his line. Everything doubled, obscene, sublime. No safety in words then, and more room. I'd like to read one of the Nadia poems, and this one is in the voice of Nadia. Not all of them are. Some of them are in the voices of other speakers. And this is the only one that I wrote clearly from her voice after having seen JPEGs of her letters when they came up for auction. And the beginning, the first couple of lines, are an actual translation of the first lines of her letter that were on the stationery for the Graf Cafe, or Chez Graf. So Chez Graf, and this poem is formally, I guess, it's kind of like a roundel or a rondelet, like in Flanders Fields. It's a similar form. Chez Graf. "André, I want my notebook. Beef stew that it is to you. To me it holds a certain blue sky. My past life, fire, and truth. André, I want my notebook. To shield my daughter, to pull the curtain on my tangled life as an ingenue, my dreams swept into the dustbin, the masks I shed for you, displayed on your study wall with pushpins. Screw your game and your retinue. André, I want my notebook. My notebook. The spine, the words, the drawings on onion skin. I'm more than the specimen you dissect in your book, your limp noodle vision of the feminine. You won't take off your shoes at the beach. I walk barefoot in the margins of my notebook, naked and blue cold with the discipline. You pursued me, and now I pursue you. My notebook, André, my notebook.